back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I love our staff on this show. A couple of the associate producers, Corey and Nikki, both reached out to me during the commercial break to tell me stories. One of them had a fun story about Deion Sanders. The other said, literally, as you guys were talking about podcasts, I was setting up to record my own podcast. Don't do that. Just stay tuned into the show. Our guest coming up right now is Bruce Barnum, the Portland State football coach. They will be traveling to Pullman, Washington on Saturday. Well, they will be collecting a $563,000 check to play against Washington State. Also, maybe they will collect a victory. That would be nice. Bruce Barnum joining us on this show. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having us, John. Ready to go.
Do they hand you a check at the game, or is that sent to the school?
No, you know what? If they did that, you know, if you're getting your ass whooped, you could leave it halftime, you know, if they give you that check. But there's no rules against it.
That's right.
I saw one once. The mail was out front, and they, for some reason, it had my name on it or addressed the check, the front of it, not the check. And I opened it, and I'm like, that's a lot of money. So I turned it into the powers that be, and I said, that's the only time I've ever seen the actual check. But it's a check, like you write out, you know, to the postman.
It's nice to know, like, you know, hey, part of your job, and this is why I said it earlier, it makes your job tricky because there's a couple games every season, these money games, that, you know, are designed to help fund the entire athletic department. And good luck. See if you can win this game. You get a couple of those every year.
We do. But, you know, they're old school, which is interesting. They're not, you know, everybody today, my kids, they're like, you know, Dad, Zenmo it to me. I don't know what the hell that is. And I said, Dad, you just send it electronic. I'm like, no, but it's a real check. And, yeah, you know, when you see $1 million and, you know, you come out healthy and maybe make a run at one of them. It's part of Portland State football.
The 563 is an interesting number. What do you think is going to happen with these games moving forward? Do the prices for these payday games go up? Do they go down? Do they disappear? What happens to these games?
Well, that's interesting, is because if FBS to F, if you're an FBS team and I wanted to play you and it was a money game for you, those actually pay more. Those guys make over $1 million. Alabama called after we played Washington, the year they made the Final Four, you know, and they played us. So Alabama saw it and they said, well, we can play Portland State and still get in, you know. And they came back to me. It's the same year we had Arkansas, and I said, sure. I think I gave them like, I'll play you for 1.8, you know, and they didn't do it. But I said, if I'm going to play two SEC teams, I'm going to make enough money to get rid of a money game, you know, in the future. But are they going to disappear? Back to your question. I don't know. You know, college football right now and the movement and the power conference, what, you know, who's going to be what? Is it going to be a super conference? Is it going to be a, you know, Batman conference? Is it going to be a Superboy, a little smaller? There's so much going on. There's money flying. And I'm trying to pick up, you know, you asked why the money's different. It's because I asked for more, because I had to drop to play this schedule this year. I barter for every nickel, you know. Oh, we'll pay you $525, and I come back with, oh, you know what, how about $541? And a half. I just try to get a little more because I know it's going to help, you know, buy some volleyballs or water bottles.
Your team, as you prep for this game, what are you looking at? Do you look at, you know, because they have a different quarterback, John Mateer will be their quarterback. Do you get spring football film, or do you look back at last year and say, hey, they'll probably do the same stuff with different guys? What do you look at? How do you scout an opener?
Well, Yeah, that's been interesting because I'm spending money I don't have. But we bought something called PFFs. You've heard of that, right? Where they grade people and you can go to PFF. I can punch up air. I can probably punch up. Well, it doesn't go that far back to your baseball.
Pro Football list. Focus.
Yeah, we have that now. I bought it. You know, I bartered. Okay. You know, I saved like $1,200, but we're using it. And that's one thing we did because they had people playing that didn't play last year. But you can go to the roster and punch that name, or go to PFF and punch that name, and it shows you every video clip that they played last year. You can go back like their entire time at Washington State, so we can watch them. So you can scout that. You know, kind of guessing what their two deep's going to be, who's going to make it. That helps. I'm doing it again right now, every game from last year. You know, that's not going to hold true. It's a new season, but gives you ideas of the coordinators. They have some guys back. We know their cats are. Excuse me, my kids went there, so they know some of the guys on the team still. 52, their linebacker. I think their best player is number 29, corner on defense. They got number 0, who's a returner who is special, you know, the Mateer, I think his name is, quarterback. He's a runner. He was a runner. Yeah. He played, but he ran the ball. So he put all that together and come up with a game plan and throw it out in the field and try to get the machine running. You know, you got to see a smooth machine. We can't hurt ourselves in games like this, any game, but these games. You need a machine that runs, field position, take care of the football, you know, and see what happens.
You beat Washington State, a Mike Leach coached team, years ago in Pullman. So it's not like this is impossible stuff. Did you get a feeling in front of that game that you had a shot, or does that just sort of develop as the game goes and you go, hey, look, we're still in this thing. Hey, look, we're in this thing, and suddenly you have an opportunity?
I can tell at halftime. I can tell you at halftime if we have a chance to win the game or not. Honestly, all the ones I've been in, there's some I thought we could have won. I think you were at one, the Oregon State game a while back. Yeah. I thought that one slipped away because my poor kicker. I still feel bad for him.
PAT, right? Missed a PAT or two?
PATs and two field goals, and we lost by two, I think. That one will bite your ass for a few minutes. Anyway, I think, you know, about halftime, you know, what's going on, what their thoughts are, if they're making mistakes, how they're playing, turnovers, because I think even that game, I forget the halftime score, 10-7 maybe, 14-7, that Washington State game, but just by how they were playing and what was happening, the rain turned on, you can get a feel. Is your defense holding on, you know? Do the adjustments help? Are they just so much more athletic than you? Like we played, you know, Oregon last year, or whatever year that was, when they put the snowman on it. I could have that one, you know, watch them run by. Watch my guys run by. Kaloop, kaloop, kaloop. You know, it was like gazelles versus centaurs. I'm like, shit, this ain't going to work. But, you know, at halftime, ask me at halftime, I'll tell you. The halftime report, if they'd come up to me, I'd say, yep, we're in it. Nope, we're not. Where's that check? I'll get the hell out of here. Crank them buses up.
The 2015 game where you beat Washington State 24-17, you're behind at halftime 10-0, but you felt like you had a shot.
Yes, I could feel just they were doing things. John, I hadn't done something. I saved them till second half, just unbalanced and having a bunch of quarterbacks on the field to move. The Paris Penn ran Wildcat.
Yep.
You know, moving stuff around because they were Grinch, their D coordinator, very heavy personnel, and then we got down and we got a break, you know, our special teams. I told special teams this morning, every big game, every close game, every special game, special teams does something for you. That game, the Cougars dropped the punt, muffed the punt, and we recovered and we scored, you know. You need to play out of special teams, whether it's controlling the field or field position or what.
Bruce Barnum, Portland State coach with us. Montana State beat New Mexico You're going to see some FCS, FBS matchups. What does that do for the Big Sky when you get Montana State kind of carrying the flag against New Mexico last week?
It helps. It helps because it gets more teams at the end of the season. It gets more teams, here's how I see it, into the playoffs from our conference. You know, there's a possibility of four teams getting in because of wins like that. You know what I mean? So, good for Montana State, but it helps us. It helps everybody in the conference.
The Idaho and Idaho State teams will be playing Oregon and Oregon State. Can you give us a quick primer? Let's start with Idaho and then maybe Idaho State. You did this last year for us. You know, what Idaho has, how they match up. Is there anything these teams need to be mindful of? Let's start with the Idaho team that will be playing against Oregon at Autzen Stadium.
Well, Jason Eck, we have the kickoff thing, you know, like the beginning of the year, season this summer. You go to it. You went to it for the Big Ten and the Pac-2.
Right.
We have that. You've been ours in Spokane. And Eck, the head coach at Idaho, came up to me and said, "You had Oregon last year, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah." I didn't know he was playing them, you know.
Yeah.
He goes, any ideas, Barney? You know, we got him the opener. I kind of said, what kind of ideas do you want, you know? Because nobody knows what Eck has. He's the guy, they lost like 18 people. In fact, his quarterback, I think, somebody just came out today and said his quarterback's starting for Oregon State.
Which yes.
I thought he was a third string guy, but now he's starting there.
Giovanni McCoy. But, we'll get to him in a second. Yeah, but stay with Idaho for a minute.
Right, but I am, John, for crap's sake. What my point is, I don't know what their personnel is because he lost so many people. He had to bring guys in, you know. They're kind of a new team, but he asked me, you know, what do I do? I said, hold on your ass, and I said they're going to be a little faster than you there, Ecker. Well, yeah, you think so? I said, no, I'm sorry, I know so. Come on. They're like, pick the one, win the natty for crap's sake.
Yeah.
You and I are hoping to get a free beer, but I think they'll be overmatched by the Ducks. How's that?
All right, I like that one. All right, let's pivot to Idaho State, Oregon State. Now you can talk about Giovanni McCoy. He's the Idaho quarterback from a year ago. What is Oregon State getting at quarterback?
He's a talented kid, you know. He's experienced. I mean, he took a team to the playoffs. He played some good football. He has some good receivers. I don't know what Oregon State has as wide receivers. I'm sure Bray and the crew has recruited some dudes in there. If the portal didn't bite him in the ass, but the kid can win games for you. You know, sometimes you have those quarterbacks you go into a season, you're like, you know, such and such, he's just good enough to lose. That kid's good enough to win. He can get after it. He's smart with the football. You know, he can run. But Idaho State, you know, it's going to be a chuck and duck. They're going to try to throw the ball every snap on them. And I don't know if they can match up front with Oregon State. You know what I mean? I think that could be the key for them, just trying to stay in the game. But I think Bray's masterful on defense. He's going to get out. He'll watch all their season. He's not going to let, you know, he's going to cross the T's and dot the I's. So Bray, I think, Coach Bray's defense will probably get after them.
I am eager to see football in general. How eager are you to just get a game, or are you like all coaches who just like two more weeks of practice?
Oh, no, John. I think every program in America is ready to go. You know, I watched the games last year like a fan, you know, or last week. I didn't see them all, but I, like, watched the end of the Georgia Tech. I'm not sure what the hell they were doing in London, but, you know, it was good to see that. It was fun to see that. Then I watched most of the Montana State one, just because they're in our conference. And then I caught the end, I think, of the Reno game. So tried to watch them. The Hawaii game wasn't on. They played Delaware State, I think, but ready to go. You know, that's 0 week. Now everybody's playing. So I think coaches are just like the people listening. And I think we're as much fans as anybody. You know, we talked the other day. We leave Thursday. We practice, and then we get on the bus Thursday. We're going to miss the Colorado-North Dakota State game. You know, well, we're not going to miss it. We can watch it on our phones, but my phone's not very big, John. I can't see that. I can't watch a game on my damn phone. But and then we go right to the pig trough, or not the pig trough. We feed them at a Golden Corral, and we right from the bus after the Love's truck stop on the 84 by Boardman. So we're going to miss the whole game. And but there's some games Friday they say we can catch because we'll be up there Friday.
Why do you come anyway, on your this is my money question. I've been leading up to this one. Why do you come on this show? You're going to come on every week. Why do you come on this show?
That's a great question because I think you should be talking to my players. You know what I mean? People say, part of me, all right, I'll break it down. Why do I come on your show? Part of me has to because of my brass, right? But the other part of me is I'm selling my program. I would love just one person to come watch my team play. If I can sell one more ticket and have one more guy or gal or kid or anybody come watch my football team, that's another reason. And, I mean, we have fun. You're kind of like a chess match, that Netflix thing where the girl wins all the chess thing you bait and switch me, and it's kind of fun. It's a break from watching video kill the radio star in practice and, you know, to try to make sure you don't catch me and make me say something or get my ass in trouble. And other than that, I support what you do off the radio, that BFT camp, you know, some of that stuff and stuff you do for this community is big time. And anyway, does that make sense?
But you have options. Like, you could go on anywhere, anyone. And Stephen and I were talking about it, and I said, okay, Barnum's coming on Tuesday, Trent Bray's coming on Wednesday, Dan Lanning's coming on Thursday. And he asked me, why do you think these guys come on your show? Because you got a coach like, you know, Deion Sanders, who's saying, I won't talk to a media member. And I've never asked you guys, why do you come on this show? So I think, you know, it's an interesting question. Like, you have limited amount of time in your day, and you choose to come here. Obviously, you love for people to come to your games, and I think people should go to your games. You've got great kids, and I think once you get into Big Sky play, I think those games are going to be great because everybody you're playing is good this year. But I've never really asked you, like, why do you come on?
No, the first time you ever had me, it was straight up, I'm going to sell my football team, you know? I got to sell my kids. I sell my program, you know? I'm still befuddled, and you did that thing where you paid those people to call it, hey, I love Barnum. But to have Lanning, you know, Bray, and those other guys, and you know, then you throw in the barn frog. I'm like, all right, does he want to lose his listeners or what? But I don't know. I think there's some mutters out there that after listening to you for a few years and talked about it, I think there's some mutters that, you know, might enjoy hearing about Portland State football. And you said, these guys say I talk different than those other guys, you know.
You do.
Lanning and those guys, I read books, but I can't quote them, you know. I've had a different, you know, we're not at a Power 5, where I probably talk like most of the people driving out there, you know.
Instead, I think
we're going to come in and we're going to have a great showing this weekend over there in Pullman. I'm very excited for it.
You're authentic, and it's why I bring you on. I wouldn't bring you on every week. It would be boring if you just came on and did all that stuff. And I think you're authentic. You're a normal person. Steven's got to sit there pushing the dump button every time you drop a cuss word. I love it. Keeps him on his toes. You know, it's going to be a fun year. Go give him hell in Pullman, and we will catch up with you next week. We'll download, and then we'll talk about your week two opponent. But make sure they send you the check, $563,000.
I'll get it. In fact, if I can find it, I'll take a picture for a listener, and we can post it on your website for shits and giggles, you know?
All right.
Thanks for having us, John.
There he goes. Bruce Barnum and the Vikings heading to Pullman on Saturday. Steven, did he answer the question?
He did, and then he snuck a last one in there. But I think he did. on my toes always. I think he answered the question, John. I think it was, he admitted, he said, first time I came on, it was just to, promote the program. Like, he didn't want to come on the program. Now I think he, respects you as a questionnaire. Like, you ask the right questions.
Comcast has issued a statement about the Xfinity mess. They have given me a statement. I find it interesting. We're going to talk about it coming up next.